the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
You are listening to the number one political talk show in America that really has the president's back. That's right, folks. I'm Blair Adams, and this is the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And I'm mighty proud to say, don't worry, Mr. Obama. We won't talk about any phony scandals you are involved in on this show. Frankly, there's no time to talk about any phony scandals. There are too many of the real thing. So we're going to sort it all out for you for the next hour. And we do it 6 days a week, 3 hours on Sunday. My co-host will tell you he knows the irony of a phony complaining of phony scandals. Christopher Hart!
So very, very well put there, Blair Adams. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. And we are coming at you live from the beautiful Salem Communications Studios here in Altamont Springs, Florida, with Nick LoCicero, man in the gadgets on the other side of the glass. You can be a part of the show. You know the routine. Just pick up that phone. Call us at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-TALK. Okay, folks, as I said, welcome to the show this afternoon. And we've got a great show lined up for you once again today. And we've got Victoria Jackson, who's going to join us in the next segment of the show. A lot of you folks may remember her from Saturday Night Live. She was on in like the late 80s, early 90s. And but now she's gone from being just a comedian actress to being a political satirist. She's also a singer, by the way. And she's a quite active blogger. Mm-hmm. Just today, she was talking about the tax scandal. And yeah, it is a real scandal, Mr. Obama, as well as Common Core. And by the way, we're going to have a guest from Central Florida's efforts against Common Core on our show Friday. So she's very active as a political activist. And she's now active with the Tea Party as well. So this ought to be a very interesting conversation with her today. And I remember seeing her at the Republican convention over there. You remember that?
That's right. I met her and said hello. We didn't really interview Victoria at the time, but did get a chance to say hello. And
she had...
remember her from Saturday Night Live? She was great.
Yep, and she has quite a following. So hopefully you guys will stick around and enjoy that interview. Okay, Nostra Dennis will be joining us a little bit later on. And don't forget, tomorrow is Wednesday, so we're going to give away another family four-pack of tickets tomorrow, so don't make sure you don't miss that show. And tell your friends, if they don't listen to our show and they're big baseball fans, they may want to tune in if for no other reason than to win some tickets, and maybe they'll hear something they like.
Do not strike out and miss our show tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Oh, what a ploy.
There's just so much to talk about. You know, talking about the president, talking about phony scandals. You know, I finally heard somebody say it the other day, and I wish I'd have said it first, but is it phony when bodies come back in when people come back in body bags, when an ambassador comes back in a body bag, you know, from his assignment? Because people, you know, in Washington under his command were derelict in their duties, and I'm talking about people in the State Department, not people in the military.
And, well, they tried accusing people of turning a tragedy into something that was, you know, benefiting them. But come on, folks.
But you know, I just want to echo.
There's so much missing here.
I want to echo something that Carl Jackson says over and over. Yeah, there's something missing here. You're absolutely right. You know what it is?
The truth.
No, yeah. And you know why we're not getting the truth? Because we don't get Republican outrage. That very day, there should have been Republicans blanketing. They should have been lining up at the television stations demanding to go on the air and saying, you telling me that Christopher Stevens coming back dead is phony, Mr. President, when today we still don't know what you did that night, sir? Is that phony, sir? And then you just go right on down the line. Where is the outrage? Where have you heard any Republican out there really stomping his feet and just doing what a Democrat would be doing if Ronald Reagan or George Bush or any other Republican is accused of a scandal had stood there and called it phony? You better know they'd have been all over that, and rightfully so.
They're being real proper, Chris.
No, they're being real foolish.
Come on, they're being so proper here.
No, they're being real foolish. They're going around making these sweet little bipartisan deals which aren't worth the paper they're written on. Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, they are missing. That's what's missing in the equation. See, we have the perfect system, but you have to have willing participants to have an adversarial system.
You have to have two adversaries. They can't go along with each other. Then they're in cahoots.
You only go along by coming to a defeat or a victory. That's how it works. That's the way life works. That's why we have the perfect system. Because it mirrors nature. It mirrors life. As does capitalism, I might add. Speaking of capitalism, let me change the subject here real quick. I saw something that did sort of tickle my fancy in the newspaper and on the tip sheet this morning. A Saudi billionaire has finally woken up and seen what's going on right here in this country, in spite of President Obama. I'm talking about Prince Awalid bin Talal. He's warning his Saudi brethren over there, look out, them frackers over there in the United States are fracking, messing every fracking thing up for us over here. Because they're seeing that our oil production is going up. Our demands from them are going down. They see the handwriting on the wall that there is so much oil and natural gas in this country to be fracked that if we ever do get our fracking act together, we're going to frack ourselves all the way to fracking energy independence.
And other countries are doing the same thing.
That's right.
Ooh, who'd have thunk that? Now, these people that were so like, oh, no, global warming. Oh, if you frack, you're going to mess up the entire planet. We won't have any water to drink. But they're all going for it now.
Because it is an effective and efficient way to drill for natural gas in particular, but oil as well. And you mentioned
and
other countries.
It does not mess up the water.
You mentioned other countries. China is coming to buy our technology and using our technology, but there's other countries that are developing.
In Europe.
There are other countries developing their own. What's that? Back off of the fracking stuff. Okay. All right. Okay.
That was our engineer there, afraid of where this is going.
All right. Well, I want to tell you about some fracking going on in Japan.
Oh, you said it again.
Yeah, they are fracking for something. They are fracking for ice to burn.
I'm sorry?
Fracking for ice.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
Okay. They are fracking for something called methane hydrate, which exists in vast quantities. There's more of this stuff already known to exist than all of the oil and natural gas that we have ever used and yet still intend know that exists to be used. And this stuff exists mainly in the ocean bed, and it can be retrieved via fracking. Now, it's a much more dangerous process than any time you're dealing in deep water than when you're dealing on land.
Of course.
Nonetheless, the technology is there, the resources are there, the willingness to go get it is only based on the economics now. So there is plenty of energy out there, clean energy that can be used.
Well, Chris, that's what fracking was based on. It was waiting to occur when economics made it feasible. They've had the capability of it for years.
That's exactly right. Okay, let's go to James because he wants to remark on Carl Jackson, who was on Bill Bennett's show this morning and did a really great job. Hey, James.
Hey,
thanks for calling.
Hey, no worries. I didn't get to hear Carl on the radio this morning, but I caught right afterwards, and there were a lot of callers that were really impressed with Carl So unfortunately, I didn't get to hear it, but I didn't know if you guys had the opportunity to listen.
Yes, I didn't hear it this morning, but I have heard it since, and he did do a great job. And, yes, he did a great response. And so we're really proud of Carl, and more power to him. And hopefully he'll that won't be his first and last time. It'll just be the first time over a long list of guest appearances he has on a lot of shows.
Exactly. In fact, Bill Bennett even mentioned that. I think he even said that we're looking forward to having him again somewhere down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we saw it in Carl the first night that he sat in with us on a Sunday night. A mutual friend of ours, Ariel Gosar, brought him in here just off the street, basically. And I said, "You ever been on radio before?" And he said, "Well, once or twice. I think he was a guest." I said, "Well, just sit in with us a while." And here he is. So we are very, very proud of Carl. So thank you for the call there, James. We appreciate it.
That's right, and folks, don't forget, Carl does have his own show here on 660 WORL Saturday mornings, and that's at 8 o'clock, right, Chris?
8 a.m. live, mm-hmm. 8 to 9 a.m. live, and then it's replayed Saturday afternoon at 6 p.m. So if you can't, you know, if you have things going on or don't get up that early on Saturday morning, you can catch the replay, although you wouldn't be able to call in as you can Saturday morning. So
that's right. And
make sure
Alvarez is a nice mix on there, too.
Absolutely. That's right. You better believe it.
Here, we're talking about those folks. Let's talk about us. We are the American Adversaries, and you know who we are and where we are. Coming up next, Victoria Jackson, star of Saturday Night Live. I cannot wait. And she's smart, too.
Yep.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Happy Tuesday, Orlando. Another beautiful afternoon here. Of course, it's always gorgeous here. And speaking of gorgeous, folks, we've got a super treat for you here on The American Adversaries. By the way, I'm Laura Adams here with my co-host Christopher Hart. And on the line right now, we have a woman that has always intrigued me. I followed her career on Saturday Night Live and on some other things, too. And I got to tell you, I'm proud to not only introduce her, but we have something in common. Victoria Jackson, you and I are Florida natives. How about that?
Oh, cool. Where were you born?
Palm Beach.
Oh, fancy.
And you were born in, no, West Palm Beach, the poor part, believe me, the very poor part. And you were born in Miami, right?
I was born in Carroll City in the ghetto.
Oh, I thought it was Ritz-Carlton.
So you guys do have a lot more in common than you thought.
We know Florida, don't we, girl?
Hey, welcome to our show. Welcome to our show. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. You know, we saw you, although we weren't able to interview you, but we did see you at the Republican convention this past year. And, boy, everybody was seeking you and your point of view.
Really? Oh, well, it was my first one, and it was quite interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was our first one as well in terms of being there as part of a radio show or in any form in terms of being at a live convention live. But there was a lot going on. It was very inspiring, and we thought it was going to be the beginning of the path to victory. However, it just didn't turn out that way.
Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah, that's one way to put it for sure.
Well, on the 2012 election night, I tweeted that America died.
Well, I hope it wasn't that drastic.
Hey, it's a chance for us to do something better.
Well, God knows how to resurrect people from the dead, so maybe God can fix this.
Yeah, that's what I'm praying for. And since you mentioned God, I was looking at a little bit of your bio, and I knew that you are now an outspoken Christian, but I did not know that you were raised a Christian, very much so, in the sense that you went to Christian schools. You also were Christian while you were in Hollywood. How did that work?
Well, my opinion is that, the fact is that most careers or offices or jobs, the Christians are the minority. And my husband, he was on the SWAT team, and he was the only Christian. So me being the only Christian on Saturday Night Live isn't really such a weird thing, you know. And I did have a very unusual childhood because my dad was a Baptist deacon, but he was also a gymnastics coach, and he used to be in vaudeville. So my childhood was filled with the Bible and show business.
And you actually were a gymnast yourself for a long time.
Yes, he had me in costumes, doing flips, jumping off of trampolines, standing on his head. My whole childhood was like that. So to me, it's just a natural thing to grow up and still be doing that.
Victoria, why is there this negativity towards Christians in Hollywood? I mean, we've seen it happen over the years, and it just seems to get worse.
Well, I think it's because Jesus said that they will hate us because they hate him. And I think they hate him because he tells them that they're sinners and they need him. And I think pride makes people think that they don't need a savior and that they aren't not a sinner.
By the way, folks, I just want to tell you that Victoria Jackson has written an autobiography. It's called Is My Bow Too Big? How I Went from Saturday Night Live to the Tea Party. Excellent title. So let me just ask you, how did you go from Saturday Night Live to the Tea Party? Were you, I don't think you were politically active back then, were you? Or
no, I was never political until 2007 when I had a political awakening. But how many hours do you have?
We have it all the way till 6 o'clock, so take as much time as you can.
Okay, well, my political awakening came actually when, in Hollywood, California, ironically. What happened was, when I was 18, I said to my dad, who should I vote for? And he said, anybody with an R next to their name.
Smart guy.
And I said, why? Are they Christians and the Republicans? And he goes, no, but they're closer to the Bible than the D's. So then I just forgot about politics, and in my 20s, I was on Saturday Night Live, and Reagan was the president, and I felt very safe being an American because he was ending the Cold War, and he was tearing down the Berlin Wall, and he was defeating communism around the world. And I was like, wow. And so I felt safe. I didn't care about politics.
You not only felt safe, but it sounds like you felt like you were proud of America, too.
Well, I've always been proud until we got a communist president.
Okay.
All right. How do you really feel?
I stopped you in mid-story. So you were feeling safe because of what Reagan was accomplishing.
Yeah, I felt safe. You know, I thought, well, I should vote. But, hey, I would have voted for him, and he's in. So I didn't have to vote. And so then I was in my 30s, and I was a wife and a mother in the suburbs of Miami, reunited with my high school sweetheart. And I was walking by the TV one day. Now, my husband was a poli-sci major. He's a policeman, and he was always standing in front of Fox News, and I'd make fun of him, like, you're so boring. You know, my first husband was a fire eater. My whole 20s was full of excitement, but now I'm addicted to Fox News, even though there is part ownership by a Muslim on Fox. You can't believe everything they say. But anyway, so I walk by the TV and I see Clinton on there going, it depends what the meaning of the word is. And I look at my husband and I go, this country's being run by morons. I've got to get involved. But I didn't, so I said, how do I vote? And my husband, I was 37 years old. And my husband's like, you have to register. And I'm like, well, where do you register? And it's like, no one had ever told me that. And so, anyway, you know, then I forgot about it. Then in 2007, my children were almost, well, one of them got married. And I said, man, my kids are almost grown. The other one was a teenager. I said to my husband, I want to go back to L.A. and try to get my career back now. One last hurrah before I die. I've always wanted to be an airhead on a sitcom. And Betty White's 99, and she's an airhead on a sitcom, so you can still be old and be an airhead on a sitcom.
Yep.
And while it's kind of, the jobs for older women are few and far between, but they exist. So he goes, Vicki, Hollywood's not going to be interested in a 50-year-old. I'm like, honey, maybe there's something else bringing me there. I had this urge. I had to go. So I'm in Hollywood 2007, and my friend goes, Vicki, you can't get an agent or an audition because you outed yourself in the 90s on the Bill Maher show, Politically Incorrect, where I was on 12 times defending Jesus against four screaming atheists. And I said, yeah, you're right. And then he goes, but there's this secret underground conservative group, and maybe you can network there. And I was like, but I'm not political. And he goes, well, they're like-minded. So I went to this secret underground group, there, it started out as two people, and now it's over, well, in a couple of years, it grew to over 2,000. It's probably way past that now.
Are you allowed to give out, does it have a secret website or something you can give out on the air?
No, I'm not telling the name or anything because it's secret.
It's secret, of course, Chris.
Well, I had to ask.
Big secret spiller.
See, the people, they're afraid they'll lose their career if they come out of the closet.
I understand, sure.
And so you're basically telling me that they told you you were blacklisted. More
Nobody
or less.
Nobody had to tell me. I kind of figured it out by myself. I mean, John Voight is a conservative, outspoken, and he's maybe above the rules, but everyone else is hiding if they have conservative. Like, the rumor is Adam Sandler and Dana Carvey are conservatives, but it's a secret and it's a rumor.
And they're afraid it'll destroy their career if they if it comes out.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I'm in this group the first time.
I tell you what, Victoria, can we hold you? We have to go to a commercial break, but we'll pick it up right there when we come back from the break. Is that okay? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Victoria Jackson. That's right. That Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live. And she's got a great autobiography out. It's called Is My Bow Too Big? How I Went from Saturday Night Live to the Tea Party. And she's giving us a condensed version of it right now.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Tea Party, I want to make sure that I ask her about resurrection, possibly the resurrection of the Tea Party. Folks, we are the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Welcome back to the show. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we're coming at you live here this afternoon. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we're having a conversation right now with Victoria Jackson. She was on Saturday Night Live from 1986 through 1992. She's not only a comedian and actress, but she's also a political satirist. She's a singer, a blogger, and get this, I did not know this, but you also do celebrity impersonations. Is that right?
I do.
And somebody said you do Rob Lowe.
What? Oh, I did it on SNL, but, you know, they had a wig on me and everything.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Well, welcome back to the show. Our producer, Nostra Dennis, has joined us, but you were right in the middle of telling us how you went from being on Saturday Night Live to the Tea Party. You were in Los Angeles. You had gone back out there about 2007. You were told that basically since you had come out on the Bill Maher show as being a Christian that there was no work for you, but you joined a group of, shall we say, secret, like-minded people, and I think that's about where you left it.
Well, I can't really say that I lost work just because of my beliefs, because there's many factors, including my age, my weight. I was living 5,000 miles away. So, and the thing is, it's hard to prove you lose work because of your politics or religion, because, you know, who knows why they pick someone over you, you know. But mostly it hurt my career to live in the suburbs for 20 years. That's probably, you know, even more detrimental. But anyway, I do some impressions back to that other thing you were talking about. Like, when I was Rob Lowe, I probably talked in my man voice like this.
You do that well.
Oh, and I do have a character named Harriet.
Hi, my name's Harriet. I'm a blue-blooded liberal from my head to my toes. I love Obama. Guys, I wrote to him adorable baby pictures. Herb Garden, three condoms.
That's awesome.
Excellent. That
awesome,
is really
Victoria.
Good. That's really good. So how did you end up joining the Tea Party? Let's finish it up with
And is there a resurrection going on with the Tea Party?
Do you think there's a future for the Tea Party?
Okay, well, I was just throwing in some impressions since you brought that up.
Feel free. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Keep them coming.
Okay. Well, I do think there's going to be a resurrection of the Tea Party, not that it ever went anywhere. I think the IRS did do voter suppression, and they did hurt the Tea Party movement. The Tea Party never died. It's growing strong and vibrant. The rest of my story is I'm in this meeting, and when it got to me, I said, well, I'm not political, but I'm a Christian, so I guess I'm a conservative. And they quickly educated me. they showed me the Citizens United movie, Blocking the Path to 9/11, and it showed that the Clintons had so much political power, they had a scene of the movie removed from a documentary that made Clinton look bad. It was the time when the Osama bin Laden was in the military's sights and Clinton didn't answer the phone. And they had that removed, and I thought, whoa, that sounds like George Orwell rewriting history, 1984. And then I heard somebody say, hey, someone's running for president who's left of Hillary. And I thought, left of Hillary? She's a socialist. What would that be? That would be communism. And I had a flashback to 1970 at Dade Christian School in Miami, Florida, when our teacher told us to read George Orwell's book, 1984.
Yep.
And he told us communism would not take over America by force because of the Second Amendment, but it would take over from within by the breakup of the family unit and by sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I realized, hey, in my lifetime, between the age of 12 and 50, it happened. There's a communist running for president. And so I tried to tell everyone, and I saw a DVD called Heights about Obama's past in Chicago, and I heard a little bit of facts about Jeremiah Wright and about Obama's grandparents, who were card-carrying communists. And I was like, the media isn't telling anybody.
Nope.
And it was all about race. My next-door neighbor was a lawyer, and he bragged to me one day, you know, he said, my whole life I voted Republican. This is the first time I'm not voting Republican. And I said, why? And he goes, because he's black. And I said, that's the most racist thing you could ever say, is that you're voting for someone because of their skin color. I just couldn't believe how unbelievably stupid America was, but I know why they're stupid. They're spiritually blind because they have kicked God out of their homes, their schools, even most churches, and they're spiritually blind. They cannot see the truth that's right in front of them. And so ever since 2008, we have books now by Aaron Klein, by Dinesh D'Souza, by Trevor Loudon. We have lots of proof about Obama's past, his childhood mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, and his racist professor, Derek Bell, and his Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky training. And he's on purpose dividing the nation and stirring up class warfare and racial, you know, conflict. And he said, spread the wealth, to Joe the plumber when he's on the campaign trails. Direct quote from the Karl Marx Communist Manifesto. The new word for communism is collectivist, and the other word is progressive, but it means the same thing. It means
absolutely
controlling everything. And the reason I'm passionate is because the first thing a communist country does is they persecute or kill the Christians. And when I die, my children will be here, and I taught them to believe in Jesus Christ. So I have a personal investment in fighting communism.
Amen to that. Boy, I've not heard anybody say that as well in quite a long time.
People are afraid to say it nowadays, Victoria.
That's absolutely right. Thank you for saying that. Listen, at this point, I want to bring in our producer, Nostradamus, because I know he has some questions along this line. Nostradamus, who's over in headquarters, how are you doing today?
Oh, real good. And hang on, I'm writing this headline down for our show. Adam Sandler and Dana Carvey outed on Orlando radio.
You better not. You better not. We don't want to get Victoria in any kind of trouble now.
I got that. So your first question, and this is what most impresses me about you. When you go to your website, a lot of people are single-issue people. They hammer the Constitution. They hammer taxes. They hammer Obama. But it seems like you have so many issues that you speak on from so many different sources. I want to know, where do you go to find the hottest, latest news tips to keep you plugged in?
That's a great question, because when I first started my political awakening, I asked people, where do you go to find the truth? I had no clue. I knew it wasn't TV. I knew Glenn Beck was mostly saying the truth, although he's confused, you know, with Christianity and Mormonism. But I have to tell you, I trust WorldNet Daily. I get a lot of emails from my fellow Tea Party people. I'm on teapartycommunity.com. Some of my best stuff is from fellow Tea Party people, teapartycommunity.com. Patriot Action Network.com. the Don Smith Show.com. Breitbart.com. There's a couple favorites that I always trust, you know, because I know the people who work there, and I cross-reference everything, you know. I don't just believe anybody 100%. I get so angry when people say, oh, you believe everything on the internet. I want to punch them in the face. I'm like, no, I read, I cross-reference, I listen. I can pretty much pretty quickly pick out a lie.
So the point is, if you want to find it out there, you can find it. You don't just have to sit back, watch what the nightly news gives you, and believe that that's all true.
Yeah, LibertyAlliance.com. They have a whole bunch of websites of conservative truth tellers, politichicks, Patriot. My friend Kwong in Arizona, what's the name of his? You should get the YouTubes of Terry Lovell, Professor Terry Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L. There's people. We're on fire, man. We got to save America. Well, we got to resurrect it.
Victoria, you're a blogger yourself. What's your site?
VictoriaJackson.com.
Okay, that's easy enough.
And let me ask you this, Victoria. What do you tell your listeners and your readers? What do you tell them that were members of the Tea Party that got disillusioned after the last election because so many people were so sure we'd pull it off and the Tea Party could do it, and they got disillusioned? What do you tell them now to get them fired back up again, especially for 2014, which is so important?
Well, I did get discouraged. I did. And, I stayed in bed for 3 days, mourning the death of America in November 2012. And then I just was like, you know what? Nobody's listening, you know. Let Jesus come back, whatever. End of the world. And then I just, every day something happens. I'm like, no. For instance, I'm sitting here just trying not to be in politics, trying to get back into comedy. I'm performing at Zany's August 8th in Nashville, by the way.
Woohoo! All
and
right.
Just putting it out there, plug.
Feel
but anyway, so I was sitting here, and I read on the internet that there's going to be some government Muslim co-sponsored event in Manchester, Tennessee. And I'm like, what? And it says that Bill Killian, the state attorney, is going to tell citizens that if they criticize Islam on the internet, they will be federally prosecuted. And I was like, excuse me? Whatever happened to freedom of speech? Aren't I an American? And so I told my husband I was going. He goes, don't. You know, Muslims kill people. I'm like, Paul, if you're afraid of them, we already lost.
Right. Very good point.
They moved into our country, and they're going to take over. We're afraid of them.
Yep.
By the way, my friend who's fighting the Islamization of America, her dog got stabbed in her yard by a Muslim. Okay. She got 10 death threats, and she's trying to fight the Murfreesboro Mosque. But anyway, so back to my story. So I tell my husband, we've got to go. We've got to go. So I thought I'd be the only one. There was 1,000 Tea Party people there with signs. Freedom of speech. Pamela Geller came, and it was a beautiful sight. We prayed. We sang. There was one Muslim guy, two politicians, two Muslim women, and 1,000 Tea Party people. They showed us a patronizing film of how we should love other cultures and accept them into America, which was horribly, shockingly patronizing. And the crowd was like, we were going, it's not about race. It's about jihad. And then a Muslim lady gets up there and says, Muslims are nice. We're in your military. And we shouted, Fort Hood! Fort Hood!
Oh, boy.
I mean, yeah. And then a local pastor, gave a sermon saying that the Tea Party people were unkind. And I was furious. I was like, how are we supposed to defend freedom? We were the silent majority for the last 20 years, and we lost our freedom. We've got to do something. And we were politely shouting. No one was saying bad words. We were just politely shouting, Fort Hood, Jihad.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, being kind and all that, it's great stuff, but in terms of politics, the reality is that will be used against you each and every time. And certainly if you sit silently by, and that's always taken as acceptance. So if you sit silent, your views are just going to be bypassed, and I think that's exactly what you're saying that we've seen over these last couple of decades, Victoria.
We've got to learn how to be a kind warrior, because this is a spiritual battle, Ephesians 6:12, and I think the church has to get off of their couches and do something.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We've been challenging the churches here for some time on our show.
Well, so many of them have gone liberal.
They're just passive liberals, if nothing else.
Yes.
And, Victoria, you're absolutely right. And I appreciate what you're saying here. Let me go back to Nostradamus, our producer. Dennis, do you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, perfect segue. I swiped from your Facebook page and put on our Facebook page a quote you put up by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite thinkers. Do you have that in front of you? Can you read it, Victoria?
Well, it's not in front of me because I'm standing outside, actually, in the rain.
What it says is that those who do good, those who are good but do nothing, that's just as much a sin as doing evil.
Yes.
Very well.
And what's the rest of the quote?
I don't remember it.
So you're both standing outside
like
in the rain.
Either one of our Facebook pages.
Well, it's just like the Edmund Burke quote that says, you know, when good men do nothing.
Yeah, evil thrives when good men do nothing, something to that effect. Yeah.
It's on both of our Facebook pages, so you can go check it out there.
That's right. And by the way, folks, victoriajackson.com is where you can find out more about Victoria and read what she's saying and hear what she's saying. Victoria, you worked with Johnny Crawford from The Rifleman when you first started out. You were on live stage. Do you prefer live stage or television?
I like TV. I like both, but I think I like TV the best. And I don't like stand up that much because it's kind of lonely. I like being in a scene with other actors, and I like having smart people write my material. Smart Harvard Jewish guys write my jokes. They're funnier than my personal jokes.
Oh my gosh, what is Johnny Crawford doing now?
Well, Johnny, he was like the guy who got me he kind of discovered me, actually, in Birmingham, Alabama, in Summerstock, and he gave me a one-way ticket to Hollywood to be in his nightclub act where he sings 30 songs, and he is still singing 1929, 1930 songs with his orchestra, and he looks the same, and he became a conservative. He was a liberal his whole life, and then 9/11, he converted. I'm still trying to convert him to Christianity, but we'll have to pray for that.
One step at a time, I reckon, huh? By the way, folks, Victoria Jackson has written an autobiography. It's called Is My Bow Too Big? How I Went from Saturday Night Live to the Tea Party. And she's just given us a little taste of it this afternoon. It's a fascinating story, and you have a fascinating life and fascinating career. And I see also that you were on The Tonight Show when Johnny Carson was still hosting The Tonight Show. Is he still the best host of all in terms of that program?
Yes, he was the best because he made the guests look funny. And I noticed that other hosts, they try to get the laugh for themselves.
Oh.
And I'll give you an example. When I was first on, I was married to a fire eater, my first husband. And he didn't have many gigs. He made about $100 a year.
Yeah, what was it like kissing a fire eater? Did sparks fly?
Well, he called himself Hot Lips.
Okay.
But anyway, so I was on Johnny Carson, and Johnny said, we had a pre-interview, and we both knew sort of what we were going to talk about. So Johnny Carson says, so Victoria, you're married. Who are you married to? And I said, a fire eater. And so I got to laugh.
Right.
As opposed to other talk show hosts I've been on where they say, so, Victoria, I hear you're married to a fire eater. And then they get the laugh.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And then I just sit there and go, yes, and I get no laugh. So I thought Johnny was such a gentleman because he would make the guest look good.
All right.
That's an important point.
Well, I tell you what, I think you have succeeded in making us look good tonight. I want to thank you so very much for being on our show. Before I let you go, I'll let Nostra Dennis. Do you have any last questions for Victoria or points, Dennis?
I do, and it's going to be a leave them laughing question. It's good that we segued into that. Victoria, Dennis Miller,
what?
John Lovitz, which one makes you laugh more?
Oh, that's hard.
No.
Well, okay, well, here's my answer. Well, Dennis Miller, most everything he says goes over my head.
Me too, yeah.
So instead of laughing, I'm kind of scratching my head. And John Lovitz, he can say nothing and just stand there and
sure.
He makes me laugh.
Sure.
Sounds like John Lovitz is the winner.
No, don't say that. I'll lose friendship with Dennis. I love them both equally.
They're both great. You're right, Victoria.
Victoria, thank you so very much. This has been a pleasure. I hope you'll come back on our show.
You are an angel.
Absolutely.
You are. God bless you.
We'll look forward to seeing you on Fox and anywhere else that we can. And by the way, you're going to be in Nashville when?
Zany's August 8th.
Okay, can you get Harriet back on the line to say goodbye to us, please?
Oh, goodbye, you guys. Remember, Obama is a wonderful person.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Victoria Jackson. God bless you. All right,
you too,
folks.
Bye.
Okay.
That's right, folks. We're the American Adversaries. We'll be back shortly.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Oh, the American Adversaries have the best guests anywhere. Victoria Jackson, that was amazing, Chris.
I love that Harriet.
Oh, my gosh, what a talent. She went, slipped right into that characterization beautifully.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Nostra Dennis to get her back real soon.
Absolutely. Folks, we are the American Adversaries. Just a few minutes left. I'm Lair Adams. I've had to remember who I was. Christopher Hart, and on the line right now, Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis, thank you, sir, for getting us an interview with a very enjoyable and lovely guest.
Well, let's give credit where credit is due. Don Smith, actually, was the one who got us to her, and we thank him for hooking us up.
Thanks, Don.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dennis, we only have a couple of minutes left, but you said that you've got something on these phony scandals you want to share with
us. Are they phony?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here is the top 10. Now, usually we do top 10 lists, and they're funny. This is an actual serious list from Breitbart.
But they're phony, not funny. Oh.
They are funny, but they're also not phony. They're the top 10 signs that Obama's scandals are not phony. Number 10, if someone pleads the fifth, it's not phony, i.e. Lois Lerner.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, when documents go missing and officials fake email addresses, as in the Christine O'Donnell scandal with the EPA, then it's not phony.
Nope.
When you announce drastic policy shifts to minimize damage, the DOJ and James Rosen, it's not phony.
Hmm.
When you make a show of forcing an official to resign, like the IRS chief, Stephen Miller, whose term was almost over when Obama said, yes, we're getting rid of him.
Yep.
It's not phony. When you try to arrest a low-level leaker, like Edward Snowden, who Obama says, well, he's not really a big deal, but we're going right after him. Well, that's not phony at all. When you assert dubious executive privilege to stop investigations, such as he did with the Fast and Furious scandal. When you intimidate whistleblowers, like the State Department folks who still to this day have not been able to say what happened over there in Benghazi. When your Justice Department opens up criminal investigations, like the investigation into the IRS's conduct. When you yourself have condemned the misconduct, as in Obama calling the IRS's behavior inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can he call it inexcusable and then say it's a phony scandal?
Right.
Number one, and this is really the number one reason why these scandals are not phony, when even the friendly left-leaning media has run out of patience. As we know, they have. A lot of folks who are normally on the left are saying, whoa, 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 we've gone way too far with this. This is not right.
Yeah. Well, those are all great points, that Republicans should be hammering home, and they're not. You know, we talk about missed opportunities on this show all the time, usually in regard to other people other than Republicans, but here they are once again missing a great opportunity to hammer this president. He gets away with saying this because they don't hold him accountable.
Mm-mm.
You know, and you know, we can only do so much here.
And we need to have that other sounding board. What happened to the Republican Party that's supposed to be the other side and raise these issues? Oh, no.
Yeah. All right, Nostradamus, very good work. Thank you very much. We appreciate you so much, and we'll be talking to you later. Okay, I want to go to Tim. We only have a few seconds, Tim, but you have a comment about Victoria. Thank you for calling, and your comment, please.
Hey, she did a great job for you, and I'm just super happy you got her on. And I do want to say I got up early and listened to Carl, and he did a fabulous job. Mentioned you guys a couple times, so you're just doing a wonderful job. Keep it up.
Fantastic. And do us a favor, Tim, if you would, email Victoria Jackson's website and just mention that you heard her on here, and the same with you can email Bill Bennett.
That's right, and her website is victoriajackson.com. Thank you, Tim.
All our listeners.
We look forward to seeing you at Cafe Positano. Tomorrow night, Deneen Borelli is going to be with us, so you're not going to want to miss that.
That's right, folks. Like I said, go ahead and email these people and let them know you heard them here or heard about them here on the American Adversaries. And we will be back tomorrow. It's Hump Day, Baseball Day, here on 660 WORL. See you there.